You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of Internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network. Your voice is now heard.
This is Making It Happen with your host, Carol Kelly. Consider the possibilities of partnering up with Carol each week to be empowered and recharged. Carol, in her passionate, high energy and engaging style, will stimulate you to have a positive shift in mindset and behavior. So now, please welcome the host of Making It Happen, Carol Kelly.
Everyone, I'm Carol Kelly, coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. You're listening to Making It Happen, a show dedicated to helping you to take empowered action in challenging times and to achieve transformative results, both in your personal life and in your business or your career. This show is what this is all about. This is a show about personal leadership as well as organizational leadership. It's about transformation. It's about high impact. And it's about getting results. Yes, my friends, these are challenging times. We are going through or experiencing racial tension, sexual misconduct, immigration issues, gun violence, voter suppression, you name it. But as you are aware, there are those who are taking that empowered action we talk about in the name of social justice. And I'm referring to the Me Too movement. The Me Too movement. Is there anybody out there that's ever been a victim of or experienced sexual advancements in the workplace or suggestive words and gestures or anything like that that made you feel uncomfortable? Or do you know anyone who's been through this? A friend, a family member, someone who didn't know what to do, how to go about dealing with it? Well, this is what we are going to address in this show tonight. So the focus of the show, of our discussion tonight, will be sexual harassment and discrimination in the workplace. Sexual harassment and discrimination in the workplace. And I have a very special guest who will shed light on this for us, and he'll be along in just a few minutes. So I'm sure you are going to want to hear from him, because he is a very, very, very impressive gentleman who has worked in this and made this his passion. But before we do that, I did a little research, and most of it didn't surprise me. It's something that I already knew, but I just wanted to go back and put tonight in context and to just talk a little bit about our history around, you know, sexual harassment. It's been going on for a long time. And I found, you know, I look back and I looked at the case of Anita Hill in 1991. When she filed the sexual discrimination case against the then U.S. Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas. And since that time, the number of sexually harassment cases reported in the United States and Canada has increased 58% and is steadily climbing, according to Wikipedia. And according to a recent Huffington Post survey, one in three women between the ages of 18 and 34 has been sexually harassed. According to the EEOC, and for those of you who don't recognize that acronym, that's the Equal Opportunities, Equal Employment Opportunities Commission. According to the EEOC, approximately 15,000 sexual harassment cases are being brought to them every year. And the number of cases filed by men has even tripled in recent years. That surprised me. So currently, approximately 11% of claims involve men filing claims against female supervisors. Another survey that I looked at was a telephone poll conducted by Lewis Harris and Associates, and they are people who collect polls on these issues. They polled 782 workers. And this study revealed that 31% of female workers of these 782, 31% of these female workers claimed to have been sexually harassed at work. 7% of them were male. And listen to this, 62% of them took no action, none. So of all of the cases that we're hearing about, it tells you that there are many, many, many more cases out there that are not being reported because people are not taking action. So if you desire to take action, if you know someone or you have been the person who has been a victim of sexual misconduct in your workplace or anywhere, this is what we're going to discuss tonight. I looked at a quote by Maya Angelou, and I thought it was very, very intriguing. She says, "I can be changed by what happens to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it." So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Tonight is a show about empowering, taking that empowering action to do what we need to do to step up and to prevent sexual harassment in the workplace. Since the Harvey Weinstein case, and you know the Hollywood movie mogul out there in Hollywood, there have been 71 firings and resignations of men accused of sexual harassment, and 28 have been suspended. And the study shows that some high-profile cases are not on this list because the accusations of the misconduct were not clearly sexual in nature, and the men who were accused did not admit to sexual misconduct. So, there again, there are some things in some cases that did not even get on the list. But I want to transfer and talk to you a little bit about leadership. What does this have to do about leadership? So, in light of these statistics and these facts that I just quoted, I want to address the leaders of this country. In an era where high-profile sexual harassment allegations continue to roll in day after day after day, it's evident to me that this country is faced with a crisis. And that's the absence of true leadership in a lot of instances. Stories in the news of sexual harassment are impacting every industry, including entertainment, government, news media. And it ranges from inappropriate comments to rape. So the Me Too movement was formed to expose the prevalence of this situation. As a matter of fact, there is an essential non-negotiable demand, which is at the heart of this movement. And it says this, work is for work, not sex. Women or professionals, not objects. And if your desire to sexualize your coworkers outweighs your professional focus, then you, my friend, are the problem. And thankfully, your time is up. So whether you're in the halls of Congress or the halls of a small business in middle America, identifying and developing the right leaders, those with character and moral excellence should be a top priority for us in this country today. So tonight's show is a reflection of these small steps that we can all take toward that end. My guest tonight is Andrew Botwin. Andrew is the founder of Strategic People Culture, a firm dedicated to helping businesses understand and develop intentional workplace cultures. Intentional is an operative word here. It's time to take a break. I'll tell you more about Andy when we come back. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this man. He's very impressive.
Essential Nutrients LLC is the brainchild of entrepreneur Barbara Burns. Inspired by a desire to help others, Barbara worked with a team of scientists to develop unique nutritional liquid supplements with the goal to improve the quality of your life. Glucosamine, zinc, and calcium are essential to well-being, and this is the focus of Essential Nutrients LLC. Whether you're a professional athlete, weekend warrior, student, business owner, or homemaker, Essential Nutrients offers products for everyone, including the family pet. And they're easy to take, no pills. Health requires commitment, exercise, a good diet, proper supplementation, and action. So take action today and get your supply of essential liquid nutrients by visiting www.essential-liquids.com. Don't put off your health any longer. Take essential products today and start to measure the difference.
America is out of control. Today's capitalism and the approach to money is in fact the symptom of a more widespread pattern of excessive behavior. In his book, The Culture of Excess, How America Lost Self-Control and Why We Need to Redefine Success, clinical psychologist Dr. Jay Slosar portrays an America where excess fuels the drive to succeed. Dr. Slosar examines the cultural factors that lead to excess ranging from obesity to fraud to pervasive budget deficits. His book examines the powerful economic and social factors and their impact on our psychological well-being. Dr. Slosar explores the psychological impact of increasing narcissism, perfectionism, self-destruction, and our identity confusion. He offers recommendations for helping Generation Me become Generation We. Those who resist Slosar's message will want to avoid his discussion of regulation and his recent message that at this point, democracy must be more important than today's capitalism. Get his book now online or by visiting theCultureOfExcess.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Carol Kelly of Making It Happen on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Before the break, I was introducing you to Andy, and I was telling you that he has a firm that's dedicated to helping businesses understand and develop intentional workplace cultures. Now, I like the word intentional, so I'm sure we'll understand what he means by that as he goes on tonight. But to do this, he is engaged in executive and leadership coaching, and he also conducts independent workplace investigations on employment matters. Andy is a licensed attorney in New Jersey and New York. He holds an MBA in accounting, is a SHRM, and we call it SHRM in the consulting field, and SHRM stands for Society for Human Resource Management. So he is certified by the Society for Human Resource Management and the Human Resource Certification Institute, which is known as the HRCI. Certified by both. And by being certified by those, he is a human resource expert. He has received specialized training through the Association of Workplace Investigations and is a certified coach under the International Coach Federation. As a testament to Andy's impact that he has made in organizations during his career, Andy was a principal and human resource leader for a top national professional service firm, where he implemented business strategy, which led the firm to being recognized by Fortune magazine as one of the best companies to work for in America. And he was also the chief human resources officer for two of the top public accounting firms in the United States. Andy has worked with the Society for Human Resource Management as a member of a special task force to develop workplace standards and metrics on employee value. His passion is to help businesses to maximize, excuse me, I'm stumbling over my words tonight, so give me a break here, we'll be okay. His passion is to help businesses to maximize their profitability through the mutually beneficial relationship between employers and their employees. I like that, mutually beneficial relationship between employers and their employees. So welcome, Andy.
Oh, thank you. Happy to be here today.
Okay, thank you. Tell me about yourself. I know I've given you a very thorough introduction, and I hope I have. But in spite of that, tell us more about what you do and how did you get into this?
I'll do the best I can. I'm not sure I can elaborate much more than what you said, so thank you for the kind introduction. So, you know, I guess taking, you know, the educational background and some of the experience that you described, if you boil it down, I spent about 20 years as an HR professional really running the human resources function for a couple organizations that were, you know, that were pretty good size, top 25 in their field. And it was really over the course of my work there that I got involved in various issues in the business, including employee relations issues, investigating claims that people made that they were inappropriately treated in some way or the other. And while I was going through that experience, I was going to law school at night. And so I was really able to marry, you know, some of my practical experience with some of the theoretical training that you get, you know, by going to law school, and really just developed kind of a keen understanding and perspective on how to do these investigations. And about 6 years ago, when I decided to start the business that I have today, it was really around this passion about what more intentional, which was a word that you held on to, but more intentional effort around connecting people to the strategy of a business can do for not only the experience that employees have when they're working for companies, but really to enhance both the top and bottom line of a business. And, you know, I had the opportunity to be part of an organization that was going through that change over many years and received the recognition that you mentioned to Fortune Magazine's 100 Best Places to Work list in the country. You know, but being on the inside of that change, I really got to see the impact that it had on the business and the people around it, and became very passionate around doing it. And so I said, this is what I want to do to make a living and work with companies in that capacity, and, you know, also do these investigations in addition to the coaching work that I do. Because, you know, the reality is when, you know, the word investigation in and of itself, you know, sounds, you know, scary to a lot of people. And, you know, it tends to be something that I just am particularly comfortable with and very good at, even though sometimes it's an uncomfortable situation for some folks.
Okay, great. So we're going to be talking tonight about sexual harassment and discrimination in the workplace. So help me to understand, or help us to understand, if there is a distinction between sexual harassment and discrimination.
Well, you know, it's funny. There sort of is, and there isn't. You know, sexual harassment is specifically geared and defined as, you know, some type of harassment or even discrimination towards somebody based on their gender. You know, people most commonly think of it as, you know, somebody's, you know, being hit on at work or talked to based on their gender in an inappropriate way, or told to, you know, in an extreme case, you know, if you don't do something for me, some type of sexual behavior, or date me in some type of way, you may or may not have a different type of career path. You know, that's what people are talking about typically when they say things like sexual harassment. What's interesting, though, is when you look back at the law and the history, you know, the laws are written back to the Civil Rights Act of 1964 in language that's specifically around protected classes, and specifically around the word discrimination that you use. And what's really interesting is most of the case law, so the decisions that are made by the court system, is really around sexual harassment. But when you're talking about the rules and what's involved in terms of what a company should be doing from a risk management standpoint, and, you know, what rights and obligations we have as workers in this country, they're really the same standard and treated in the same light.
Okay, good. Thank you for clearing that up for us. So in the introduction, I talked about the Me Too movement, because that's really the movement out there that's geared specifically to sexual harassment. So what, in your mind's eye, would you say the Me Too environment is really all about?
Yeah, you know, it's a really what's become an incredibly complex discussion in the workforce. You know, and just to be clear, on the surface, you know, anytime you're talking about this topic, you know, it's very clear and should be to others that, you know, no one should be subjected to any type of harassment or discrimination anywhere. You know, in this country, there are laws specifically both on the federal level and, you know, throughout the states in this country that protect us from that. So basically, you know, and when we go to work at a company, we've got a right that's protected by law to go to work, as you described it in your introduction to tonight's topic, was to really be free and not have not be discriminated against, not
okay.
be subject to sexual harassment.
Okay, it's time to take a break. We'll take a break, and when we come right back, we'll finish that thought. Thank you. Stay tuned. We're on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio.
Attorney Renee Marie Smith is changing the way we sell real estate. She wrote a series of books called My Short Sale Guru Guides for all real estate practitioners. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to understand the process, an agent who has been handling short sales for years, or an industry analyst wanting to know how short sales impact your business, Renee uses her vast real estate experience to take a comprehensive look at the recent market phenomena while relaying it in an easy-to-understand format. Through her company, Smith Title Services, Renee has counseled thousands of short sale participants and processed in excess of 1,000 short sales. Her knowledge is transformational for real estate professionals and laymen alike, and her live presentations provide people the opportunity to ask specific questions about their issues. Buy her books and schedule her to speak at your next event. Visit www.smithtitleservices.com or call 305-705-3428 or email her at renee@smithtitleservices.com. Isn't it time to sell your property today? Learn the My Short Sale Guru way.
Psychologist, master certified coach, and CEO of the executive and organizational development firm True North Leadership, Dr. Relly Nadler brings his expertise in emotional intelligence to keynotes, consulting, coaching, and training. He is the author of Leader's Playbook and Leading with Emotional Intelligence that lays out tips and tools for effective leadership. Dr. Nadler has designed multi-day executive boot camps for high achievers in Fortune 500 companies and has coached CEOs, presidents, and their staff, and developed and delivered innovative leadership programs for such organizations as Anheuser-Busch, BMW, MCI, EDS, DreamWorks Animation, the U.S. Navy, and Vanguard Health Systems. To learn more and get your free iPhone app highlighting his tools with videos, Leadership Keys, visit www.truenorthleadership.com today.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Carol Kelly from the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Before the break, I was asking Andy about what is the Me Too environment really all about, and he's going to pick up where he left off. How about that, Andy?
All right. Thank you. So I think what I said right before the break is basically on the surface, no one should be subjected to harassment or discrimination. Where I think this gets more complex, though, is when you dig a couple layers down. You know, what's really happened is that it's been this interesting convergence of, you know, society's stereotypes around gender and sex, you know, past norms that's now become very politically charged and, you know, socially engaging. It's become a danger zone for employers and, you know, really created, you know, a place for people that are victims or feel that they've been victimized, a place that they can, you know, almost lean on as a movement to gain the courage and hope if they speak up that change will happen. You know, and those are all sort of good altruistic reasons that if somebody's been wronged and they're able to make a difference, you know, on the flip end is, you know, there's been some changes on the business front that, you know, there are people that are opportunistic of the movement and trying to take advantage of certain situations. And so it's really caused a kind of a whole new set of complexities for employers. The issues aren't new and the complexities themselves aren't new, but the sheer volume that the way, you know, it's hitting our workforce is almost unprecedented.
It's interesting, isn't it? It is unprecedented. So what is it that employers need to do to help reduce these issues in the workplace? What can they do? What should they be doing?
Yeah. So, I think from an employer standpoint, there's a number of things that they really need to do. And it's interesting. I'm going to refer back to your introduction at the beginning of the conversation, and you commented about how you feel that there's an absence of true leadership when we're, in the business community, in the political community, really throughout all of our walks of life that's leading to this. And I do think that's part of it. So, employers really need to look inwardly in terms of their leadership, which isn't always so easy to do. The types of behaviors that exist with inside the walls of their business, what's been permitted, what's been looked the other way, in different circumstances. So a lot of it really comes to sort of refocusing attitudes and taking things or taking these type of issues, more seriously and in a fair way. I think at a fundamental level, there is some guidance in terms of what employers really need to do. Really five basic things, and the federal court systems have outlined this for employers. And essentially what companies need to do is they need to have policies that basically say, we as a company, we as an employer, do not allow for harassment and discrimination in our business. They need to take those policies and then as sort of a bolt-on sometimes within those policies or as a separate policy, employers really need to give their employees complaint procedures, some type of methodology. So if they feel that they've been wronged in some way, they've been harassed or discriminated against, or perhaps they've witnessed it, it didn't really impact them, but they witnessed it happening elsewhere in the business and saw it impacting, other colleagues. Companies really have to spell out, what it is that they should do, who they should report these type of claims to, what options they have, and that type of thing. But in addition to having a policy and complaint procedures, companies really need to have training. By training, they need to explain, what is harassment and discrimination and what is not harassment and discrimination. Now, I tell employers all the time when I'm training them, we as employees, don't have this right to have this right to go to work free from harassment or discrimination. Doesn't mean that we go to work with a right to not work with not nice people. There's a lot of time there's confusion about, what is and isn't harassment. And training is really designed to help people understand that in addition to the policies that the company has and the complaint procedures. Once they have all those three, what I would call prongs in place, if and when any type of complaint happens, it's really incumbent on the company to investigate that complaint. And they can investigate that on their own. They can hire somebody from the outside like me to do that. But they really need to, and by using the word investigate, what we're really saying is take an objective and impartial look to do the best job that we can to figure out what really happened. Is there merit to the claim that came forward? If so, try to really figure out, what happened. And once that investigation's complete, then a company really needs to take, and I'm going to use a specific term, prompt corrective action, if it's deemed necessary. And so, really what a company has to do is they need to take a reasonable approach and step back and say, we've investigated the situation, based on what we could tell, from the complainant and the facts that we were able to uncover, this likely happened or didn't likely happen. And if it did, what steps are we going to take to rectify it? So a company could determine that really there was nothing wrong to do, there was no wrong. Or maybe the employee was using the word harassment and it really wasn't. And so they may not have to do anything. However, if the company discovers that, there actually was inappropriate behavior, then they need to take some type of corrective action. Sometimes that can lead to, firing. Other times it can lead to some type of suspension or some type of other disciplinary action.
Okay. So in your investigations, your workplace investigations that you've done, What percentage of organizations do you feel have those policies in place? And don't answer that because it's time to take a break, but you can answer it as soon as we come back. Stay tuned. I'm Carol Kelly on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio.
Do you ever wonder why certain things are happening in your life? How to start a business or a new direction? Need answers? Astrologer Bonnie Perbula can help you reveal your true self and gain strength and focus so you can achieve greater joy and success. Working with a natal birth date, time, and location, Bonnie brings out qualities to aid you in getting the best from your life. She can help you unlock dormant traits to bring you greater awareness. Bonnie also conducts public speaking engagements to educate aspiring astrologers on their journey to the stars. A gifted artist, Bonnie bridges her talents and recently launched a line of Astro Bears, uniquely created in colors of individuals' astrology charts. She also makes one-of-a-kind necklaces of crystal beads and woven thread. To learn more about the world of Bonnie Perbula, go to BonnieGPerbula.com. And for astrology consulting, visit AstrologyConsultants.com or call or email her at 808-526-1536 or BonnieGP@AOL.com.
Introducing BetterHomeAndGarden.com. That's www.BetterHomeAndGarden.com with just the letter N in Better Home and Garden. BetterHomeAndGarden.com offers you the highest quality products on the market that are environmentally safe and effective, and to make them available to you at the lowest possible prices. BetterHomeAndGarden.com understands that kind of creativity and do-it-yourself attitude. Thus, we developed our website, BetterHomeAndGarden.com. BetterHomeAndGarden.com offers you the following products right online. Bath, bedding, collectibles, craft, sewing and hobby, food and beverage, furniture, home decor, kitchen and dining, lamps and lighting, large appliances, musical instruments, outdoor cooking, patio items, pet supplies, plant and garden, rug and floor covering, small appliances, travel and luggage, and so much more. Better Home and Garden is an online retailer offering a wide variety of high-quality brand-name merchandise at discount prices. Our service is personal and we aim to please. Visit us at www.betterhomeandgarden.com. Make your home your own.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Carol Kelly from the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. You're listening to Making It Happen. You're also listening to my guest, Andrew Botwin, talking about sexual harassment and discrimination in the workplace. Before the break, Andy, I asked you what percentage of organizations that you work with that you find that have these policies in place that you just described a few moments ago?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. I don't know that I can give you an exact percentage. I can tell you that, you know, an overwhelming majority that I've seen, at least from that sample size, tend to have some type of policy in place. You know, some do a better job of making it visible to their employees, meaning accessible, and that's a mistake that some employers make. They think, oh, we just have to have the policy, but they don't, you know, have it posted in a way or in an accessible place like a handbook that employees can see that. I think most companies, though, seem to have something along those lines. Where I see them trip up more commonly than not is in the training side of the issue. You know, it surprises me how many businesses don't go through that step, and it's really incumbent on them to do that for so many reasons, not only for, you know, what I would call risk management reasons to try to mitigate exposure that they have to claims that could happen, but there's other things that they lose, you know, if employees are, you know, if this type of behavior is happening, they lose productivity from their employees, they lose employees, and they have turnover. There's so many different variables that impact the business on these issues that they really need to. And, you know, sometimes you would think it's just, you know, the small company, you know, the 10, 15, 20 person business that doesn't have that. And the statistics probably go way up in terms of having, you know, these policies, procedures and training in place that the smaller businesses are probably more devoid of having that. But it's interesting, you know, I was in a case with a subsidiary of a Fortune 200 company that still has inadequate training. And, you know, so it's, I don't know what the percentage would be, but it's scary how many don't do this. And then when you talk about the investigation of a claim, you know, that's what leads to a lot of the issues that we talk about. You mentioned Harvey Weinstein. and some of the other high profile businesses. I'm not intimate with the Uber case, but Uber, roughly 6 months ago, got in a lot of trouble. And part of their issue was these claims were happening and the company didn't do anything about it. It wasn't just that the circumstances, it was that they didn't have the right procedures in place and a strong enough management team to actually take action, as I understand it. So it's a big issue.
Okay. For those organizations that don't have the policies in place and or they're not communicating it properly, and perhaps some employees are not even aware of it because they're not doing training and some other things that you mentioned, if someone feels they've been victimized or see issues of harassment in the workplace, what do you recommend they do?
Yeah, certainly I recommend they speak up. Staying quiet or going to a friend, while you may be able to self-reconcile the issue, or talking to a friend, may help you, get it off your shoulders and, feel better that you said it. You're not going to effectuate change. And, sometimes the company, a lot of times, there's an assumption, I think, sometimes made by employees that the company doesn't want to know this stuff and they're going to get in trouble. But a lot of employers, more than you may think, probably really want to know and understand if something inappropriate is happening, to try to correct it. And, the scary part of doing it, there's a lot of scary components of making that step and raising the issue to people that are maybe more senior in the organization. But employees have protections for themselves when that happens too. The same laws that govern things like harassment and discrimination also protect from something called retaliation. And mm-hmm. so if somebody says that they've been sexually harassed, and as long as they're making the claim in good faith and really believe there's merit to what they're saying, even if a company finds that that there wasn't enough evidence to support that claim, and so they couldn't or chose not to do anything, it's not like they can turn around and fire the employee and say, oh, well, there wasn't a claim, so you're a troublemaker and you're gone. I mean, a company can certainly do that, but the laws are written in a way that really protect that individual, and that would expose the company to a lawsuit.
Okay, so have you found incidences? I'm getting away from the policies and procedures now, even though I know, and the training that organizations should have and should be deploying. But have you found instances during your investigation of, in spite of the policies and procedures, that there are managers who don't take a stand, who don't step up, and who don't follow the procedures and the policies?
Yeah, it happens. Unfortunately, it definitely happens, and sometimes it happens more frequently. I just finished a project where I was hired as an expert to give an opinion on just that, where the company failed to follow a series of what I would call best practices and procedures around employing an individual. And then, when a claim happened, they basically didn't do an investigation, and they didn't do some of what they really should be doing. And then, as can often be the case, what happens, and a couple weeks later, the same type of thing happens to somebody else. And then it raises the profile. And in the particular case I'm referencing, that next person that became victimized did speak up. And, in this case, it involved actually sexual assault. So the police were also involved. And they're suing the employer. And the employer, in my opinion, is going to have a difficult time in handling that case.
Okay. So do you have examples of leaders who have taken a stand on this in some organizations and who are stepping up?
Sure. I'm not going to call them out by name. You talk about a topic like this, and we tend to talk about everything that's wrong, this company, this organization, this politician, wherever it may be, that's the news, and that's what sells, and that's what people want to read. And, mm-hmm. There's this presumption that, every company is doing things wrong. And I'd actually probably invert that. And I think there's, from what I've seen, there's a lot of great companies, and, as much as we'll say there's an absence of leadership, there's a lot of great leaders out there that do take this stuff seriously and really do try to, have a culture where, people can come, to work and do their best and don't have to feel subjected to sexual harassment or discrimination.
Great. Time to take a break. We'll be right back on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. We'll be right back.
Baby boomers face many challenges, and sometimes you have to reinvent yourself in order to stay on top. Sharon Ball, nurse practitioner and Christian life and wellness coach, can help. Sharon has written a book called Reinventing Yourself Today, and it can help you through the pangs of changing the course of your life. Whether you are looking to stay on track with new goals, a sensible program to help you shed unwanted pounds, or a full kick-butt life reinvention, Sharon can work with you. Follow your passions and live each day according to your dreams and free yourself from the expectations of others. Sharon comes from the heart and shares her own personal journey to reinvention with her clients. Other self-help books inspired her, but few gave her the steps to improve her life, so she created a plan that works. Stress no more. Let Sharon Ball open the door. Sign up for a complimentary life reinvention consultation today at tinyurl.com/get-started-for-free for more of what life has in store.
Are you looking for employment and live in Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties? Jobs Annex is the place for you. Are you an employer looking to fill a position or quite a few positions in Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties? Jobs Annex is for you. Employers, JobsAnnex.com is your resource for career-minded people. JobsAnnex.com is the convenient place for job seekers and employers to hook up and move forward. Jobs Annex has been serving Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties for over 14 years. Jobs Annex is a former employment search firm. We've evaluated many thousands of resumes, and we understand what employers want and what job applicants need to be successful in their interviews. At Jobs Annex, we provide you with the tools to tell your story for free. Our resources at JobsAnnex.com will help each applicant construct an award-winning resume, an eye-catching cover letter, and key interview questions to ask in various types of interviews. Best of all, it's free. JobsAnnex.com. That's JobsAnnex.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Carol Kelly of Making It Happen on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Before the break, Ann and I were talking about that there are some companies or there are some organizations and leaders out there who are taking this matter seriously and are taking a stand. Would you like to continue that discussion, Andy?
Sure, happy to. I don't know if I have much more to expand on that, other than to say, I think it's a misnomer to just, hear the stories that we've heard and just make the leap that, all companies are bad companies. And, every place that you work is going to be this environment that you have to worry about being sexually harassed and discriminated. Maybe this is a little too high in the sky, but from what I've seen, the majority of companies actually really try to do the right thing. And the majority of people in leadership positions try to embrace the right type of environment that their employees don't have to be subjected to this.
Great. That's good to hear. So what has been the response in the community with all of this Me Too movement and sexual misconduct in the news and the media? What has been the response to this in the last six months to 1 year?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of response from all different angles. We saw in the last week of the year in 2017, the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Chief Justice Roberts, came out and mentioned that, they're going to look to clean up their act, not only internally within the justice system and how their employees are being treated, but I personally believe that that's suggestive that the courts are going to also be taking a more active role on this issue in the legal system. But the start of the legal system always comes from laws that are passed. And, we've already seen changes that have maybe even flown under the radar in terms of federal law. So, the big Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that was passed, there's been a lot of publicity around all those changes and, what that's doing or not doing, to people's taxes individually and on the corporate level, in addition to, how it's going to impact companies from staying here domestically and everything that goes along with it. But one part of that act actually talked about the deductibility for companies of expenses related to settlements and attorney fees. And and now if there's a non-disclosure agreement that's part of it, and that's part of the settlement, meaning a company, meaning somebody, you know, person involved, people involved, and the company involved can't disclose the terms of what happened and talk about everything that's gone on. Otherwise, they'd be violating their agreement. Now companies can no longer deduct that from their, their income as an expense, which is a pretty significant change. And then what we're seeing is reaction across many states in this country, including right here in New Jersey. In New Jersey, for example, there's bills that are proposing out there from both a state senator and an assembly person that have bills that are possibly going to be prohibiting non-disclosure agreements altogether, meaning it would be considered unconscionable or not allowed. Now, that stuff's not law in New Jersey, but we're starting to see that happen all over. I mean, you can look in New York and California, Washington, all over the country. It's become a very politically charged happening.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, based on your experience working with companies and organizations doing workplace investigations, and of course, developing executives and leaders through your coaching practice, what would be your take on where this country is going?
Yeah, I really think that we're in the middle of what I would define almost as a historical shift. Really, this as a topic and as an issue was, it was never regulated. It was never protected until the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I think we mentioned that very briefly. So that was sort of a first major shift, in our country's history on this topic. But I really don't believe, you mentioned the Anita Hill case in 1991, but I really don't believe that next historical shift happened until 1998, when a couple other cases were decided together or at the same time and really in concert with each other, that really established the teeth behind the law in the court systems. And it set out some of the criteria that we mentioned before. So there's five things that I mentioned. And then I think some 20 years later in 2018, we're looking at another major shift that's happened, because now it's not taboo anymore to raise this issue and talk about it. It's become much more out in the open, and I think it's helped educate this country that this is an issue, and if you have been wrong, then it's okay to come forward and speak about it.
And would you say then that this Me Too movement, as well as some of the other movements, or all of them, is an indication that suggests that change may be coming?
I think change has already happened. We're seeing it. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your valuable contribution to us tonight, Andy, and bringing your expertise to the table and giving us more insight on what's going on in companies and organizations and in the country around the title of or the topic of sexual harassment in the workplace. Thank you for being my guest.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. What I want to do now is to continue with this topic of sexual harassment in the workplace. And in my research today, I also uncovered something around a person who for 40 years had worked in this topic. Her name is Catherine McKinnon. And she recently shared something in an interview with the New York Times. And what she said is this: there are three things that leaders can do in order to prevent sexual harassment in the workplace. She's saying that they should promote more women to leadership roles. There should be more bystander interventions. And I like this one: and frequent outspoken messages from both male and female leaders about their intolerance of harassment in the workplace. And she says this messaging doesn't have to be dramatic or drawn out. It can be as simple as the advice that she gave in this recent interview. And I'm going to quote her. She said, "People have asked me for 40 years how not to get sued for sexual harassment. People have asked me this for 40 years. It's time to take a break. When we come back, I am going to share with you what she said to the New York Times recently. You won't want to miss this. Stay tuned."
The earliest human societies worshipped a female goddess. Little is known about this time because we did not always have a written recorded history. It was around 3100 BC when the Sumerians invented the first written language, and everything that preceded this time is prehistory. The prehistorical record includes all of women's unwritten history from 30,000 BC to the time that men began achieving political power around 3000 BC. Male feminist artist Kimberly Berg maintains a strong position in educating and inspiring both men and women through his devotional art to the goddess in all women. Studying their history is paramount to understanding who women were and who they would become later, living in a patriarchal society. To learn more about this important time in our history, go to www.isisrising.net.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Carol Kelly of Making It Happen on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Before the break, I was talking to you about Catherine McKinnon, who has worked in this area for 40 years or more, and she recently gave an interview to the New York Times, and I was quoting her, so I'll continue that. She said, "People have asked me for 40 years how not to get sued for sexual harassment." She says, well, a good first step is making sure that sexual harassment doesn't happen where you are. And she says, especially now, because it's going to eventually come out, especially with this Me Too movement. She says, "I've seen leaders of companies go in front of their employees and say, listen, we're here to work. Not to cater to your social and sexual needs. And if I hear you're doing this, you're out of here." And she says, it's pretty strong, but harassment doesn't happen in these places. So in spite of the policies and the procedures and the best practices that Andy told us about, he's also said that there's some leaders who don't adhere to it. And there are some who do, and that's good news. But I want to talk to leaders today to say it's time to speak up on sexual harassment. It's time to be ethical leaders. Consider this. That's one statement that she says that any leader can give in their own words, and they can greatly reduce or prevent sexual harassment. So it's all about, it comes back to the leader taking responsibility for this as much as they can. So, by failing to take a stand, leaders are abdicating their positions as ethical role models. So I want to talk a little bit about ethical leadership tonight very quickly. There are four principles involved in ethical leadership. The first is trustworthiness. Am I trustworthy? You should ask yourself. Do my values reflect an acceptance and tolerance for equity and inclusion for all people, regardless of their sex, their age, their gender, their sexual orientation, and their race? Do my actions reflect my values? Am I consistent in my words and my actions? The next one is responsibility. Do I take responsibility when something goes wrong? Look at the Starbucks incident recently in Philadelphia. He took responsibility. Respect. Do I treat others with dignity and respect? And the last one, corporate citizenship. Do I follow the laws and rules of my organization and the place where we operate? So I believe in speaking truth to power. And the truth is this: sexual harassment in the workplace is wrong. And how do you know it's wrong? Or how will you know it's wrong? Well, as the great football coach Lou Holtz once said, if you wouldn't want your mother to find out about it and you don't want to see it in the newspaper, you know it's wrong. So I encourage all leaders out there, use your power and authority toward positive ends and do the right thing. Do the right thing. And to the women out there who've been victimized by sexual harassment, I want you to know you matter. You matter. You are not a victim for sharing your story. Step up, raise your hand, share your story. You are a survivor setting the world on fire with your truth. And you never know who needs your light, who needs your warmth, and who needs your raging courage. So, my friends, you are inspiring. Don't be afraid of your story. You deserve peace. You have strength. You are resilient. You are courageous and brave. That's the thought I want to leave with you tonight. And I welcome our guest, Andy Botwin. If you would like to contact Andy, he can be found on his website, strategypeopleculture.com. That's strategypeopleculture.com. His email, andy@strategypeopleculture.com. His phone number, 973-714-3331. That's 973-714-3331. Remember, my friends, if you know of someone who's been sexually harassed, you have yourself. You don't need a new day to start over. You only need a new mindset. And remember, there are people out here that's got your back. They got your back. So stand up, raise your voice, raise your hand, tell your story, go to your company or organization and report the problem. This is Carol Kelly coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Saying until next week, stay strong. Stay resilient, stay courageous, and for leaders, do the right thing.
This has been Making It Happen with your host, Carol Kelly. Join the conversation each week as Carol invites you to be inspired and to reach your highest potential possible here on Carol Kelly's Making It Happen.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.